This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ola, it's Miles. How about this? Maybe you'd like to hear more of The Men's Room.
I know, you can't get enough of us. Subscribe to the greatest story never told on Radio.com.
This is The Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Drippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Stream all 4 hours of The Men's Room radio program when you download the Radio.com app. Joining us now, great stations like WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Also, our friends down in the Bayou, a Bayou 95.7 in New Orleans, and 98.3 The Keg in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Random question. In the last one we asked, if you're just joining us, what is the worst date that you've ever been on? And the reason we asked the question, there is a guy down in Australia, and his name is Kenny Morgan, and he was on a date on Tuesday, and he was, and the reason we ask, if you're just joining us, where do you go on a first date? What do you do? He's on a date, and he took the woman he was with to the Melbourne Cup horse races at a casino.
Okay.
So you want to go bet on the horses at a casino where you could legally do some sports gambling.
But it seems like that could be fun, right?
I mean,
it's a casino.
If you have an interest in gambling, if you have an interest in horse racing,
no, I would say that. No. I disagree already. Simply, I don't have a big interest in gambling, but there's something about betting on horses that can just be fun. That's all.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm not a huge gambler, but also I kind of agree with Miles. It seems a little aggressive. First date.
It is a little aggressive.
Let's go to a casino.
I admit it.
Gamble.
His date wasn't really into him, he says, and says she told him about basically, like, this isn't going anywhere. So as they were about ready to catch a bus on the way home, one of Kenny's long shots just happened to hit, and he put down $7 on a bet and won $553,000.
Uh-huh.
A $7 bet.
Nice.
He won $500,000.
I bet you she was very happy to be on that date then.
The woman changed her mind and decided to stick around.
Yeah, what do you know?
And hang out with Kenny longer. Kenny was nice enough. He bought her drinks for the rest of the night. But after that, he said, I had to go my separate ways. And Kenny says, quote, she's been deleted now. He's planning to use that money to buy himself a house.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. As far as where you go on first dates, a couple people have chimed in. A guy says, I met a girl on an app. We agreed to meet at Red Robin. It wasn't until I started to eat the burger that she started yelling about killing animals. I walked out.
You went to Red Robin?
Right. That's a setup. Someone else says, I went on a first date to a barbecue place with a dude. He ordered ribs and ate them with a knife and fork. No second dates.
Oh. What? Well, you can cut the ribs with a knife and a fork. Can't you separate them?
To separate them, if
yes.
You but at that point, now pick up the damn rib.
Yeah.
I still don't think the fork should be involved.
I agree. Just use.
You ever seen a barbecue show? They just kind of chop them.
Well, hopefully, if they're tender enough, you don't need a knife.
That is exactly. Either way, you know this guy.
You want to eat
don't
pork?
Date him.
Right. You want barbecue to eat? You know, with a fork, you get brisket or pulled pork.
Let's see. Someone says my first date was someone I met on Match.com. Drove separately. I had a distance to drive to get home. I asked to use the restroom. Came into the house. He was laying naked on his bed. I told him I wasn't feeling well and ran out as fast as I could. Again, I've apologized that to you for you. I misread your thing. And it says, I met a girl online once, talked to her for a couple of weeks, finally made the plan to go on a date. So I went to pick her up. I bowled up to her house. Her house kind of in the ghetto, real trashy. But when she answered the door, I realized it wasn't the same girl from the pics. She was about 30 years older. When I called her out on it, she begged me to stay. She did tell me the pictures were of her daughter and that she was sorry.
Pictures were of her daughter.
But she just wanted to go out with me, et cetera, et cetera.
Random.
Well, the good
random,
news is you
random,
can tell me you have a beautiful
random,
daughter.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Kayla.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola. Kayla, welcome to the program. Random question. Here's one for you. Let's see here. I don't know if you've ever worked in customer service or the hospitality industry or whatever, but what would you say is one of the harder or worst jobs that you've had?
Well, I'm actually currently a chef. This is Broken Femur Girl. I heard you were talking about me earlier, so I felt like calling, but
okay.
So,
but yes, I'm actually a chef, and I talked to you a few years ago back when I was a massage therapist and called on a random question Monday.
And did you, so are you saying the massage therapy is the worst job you've ever had, or being a chef is?
Oh, totally massage therapy.
I can agree with that. Because as a chef, like, look, chef is a high-stress job, assuming you're the kind of chef that actually works and don't ponder it off on the sous chef, and you know what I'm talking about. But food doesn't have an attitude. Like, customers can suck, but customers suck generally. It doesn't matter where you work. If you deal with customers, customers suck. It's understood. But a massage therapist, like, when I get tattoos, I'll put it this way. The one thing they bring up is like, man, you could have a great design. So as a massage therapist, you could have someone who really needs the help. And then they pull off their shirt or whatever, and it's just like this pimply wasteland of oil and filth. And I just can't imagine. I can't imagine having to put my hands on complete strangers when I'm not angry.
Well, what's the weirdest thing that happened with a client when you were doing the massage therapy?
Oh, I became a full-on therapist. Like, they started talking to me about their parents, and they're going through a divorce because the dad came out as transsexual, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, but what do you say? The few times I've had a massage, no offense to anyone, like, I don't want to talk to you at all.
No, I just want to lay there, maybe go to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I've had all of that, and I've also, like, and that particular client also had really, really, really bad rashes on their skin, so I had to avoid a lot of areas on them.
Do you tell them that at the time you're doing it?
Yeah, I was like, these are areas that I can't touch because you didn't tell me that you had any rashes or anything. You said you were in perfect health, and
except for the rash.
Now, yeah. Do they sometimes?
Yeah, except for that.
Do people not know it sometimes because it's on their back?
Well, no. It's like I would be working on their legs.
Okay,
and I mean,
but you never had like a big Al Gore experience. Well, I'm going to roll over now.
Oh, no. Okay. Thankfully, right. I did not have that.
Okay, good.
You haven't massaged us yet. What is the strangest thing you've seen on someone? Like, if you run a finger or a skin tag or one of those weird moles?
Or like a big
raisin?
Ass zit in the middle of their back or a blackhead they didn't know they had that had been there for like 10 years?
No, not anything like that. I mean, I've definitely worked around skin tags and everything because those are definitely sensitive areas. But because we
not
have
on
to
grandma's
all
neck.
That while we're in school. But yeah, definitely haven't had to deal with like any like Dr. Pimple Popper kind of.
Well, that would excite me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Skin
Look
tags.
I'm going to get rid of this for
you,
buddy.
I can deal with the pimple. Skin tags, mm-hmm. I can't explain them. I don't like them.
Reason we asked, have you ever worked in customer service or hospitality? A scheduling issue caused a Waffle House in Birmingham, Alabama to be short-staffed earlier this month. Only one employee showed up last Saturday night, and if you know anything about Waffle House, they are open 24 hours mm-hmm. a day. They serve breakfast and lunch and dinner 24 hours a day, and you can imagine that Saturday nights tend to be crazy because of all the drunk people who come in and they want to eat. Well, we don't know the employee's full name. They say his name tag said Ben. He had to take everyone's order, do all the cooking himself, bust the tables, wash the dishes. This guy is totally overwhelmed. But when then around midnight came, an older guy who came in to eat stood up, asked for an apron, got behind the counter, and then started helping the guy. There's a photo of the man doing dishes. He looks like he's in his 50s or early 60s, and at least two other customers also helped out. He was saying, hey, where do I put these dishes? Sure. Where do you want this? All this stuff. A woman in high heels. She then went around in a sequined dress who just come in from a bar or event or something. And while Ben cooked and the other customer did dishes, she was the person going around with the coffee pot and filling everybody up. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Waffle House, but here's how it goes, okay? You make yourself a delicious cup of coffee. We're talking about making coffee earlier.
Right.
So you go in. Maybe it's two sugars, two creams. You get your coffee, right? As soon as you're halfway done with your coffee, they come and top it off.
Mm-hmm. Which messes up the alchemy of what you have done.
Like, now you're like, do I put another creamer in? Do I put another sugar thing in? Then you mix it. They are nonstop on the coffee. Like, you know what I mean? They won't let you finish.
I mean, if you drink it black, I get, like, Mike Hawk drinks his coffee black. No worries. But you're right. I spend all of my time, like, I'm perfectly crafting this cup of coffee to satisfy myself. And, like, you just topped off my coffee.
But believe it or not, based on that one guy and the two or three other people who were in the restaurant to help, they got it going until an employee could eventually get in there and try to offer some
relief. That's really nice of them. I don't know that I would help out like that.
No. I cannot remember where I was. I thought this old woman worked. Oh, I was in Mexico, and it's this outdoor kind of dining place, whatever, and they had just been slammed. It's understood. So there's one guy working behind a bar. He's doing the best he can. Like, no worries. And there's a woman who works there, and she's cleaning off the tables and all this, and she's putting it all in bus trays, and the bus trays are sitting next to the dishwasher. And then we realize, look, she doesn't work here. She does not work here. She is doing this in an effort to speed up the delivery of her own food.
Well, that's not a bad call. Well,
see, right. I mean, no, it's not a bad call, but if you work in the industry, you know one thing. Help a lot of times is in the form of quotation marks, like when your kid wants to help you paint a room or something, where it's like, all you did now is mess with this guy's mojo, and basically the place descended into disaster after that. And it's like, look, I know your heart is in the right place, but put it this way, I'm a massive football fan. I have my ideas about what my team should do. I'm pretty sure the head coach will say thanks, pat me on the head, and then send me the hell back to my seat, because they know what they're doing. Yeah. Just let them get over the hump.
In my world, just, you know, not working in that side of things. The one rule that I know is you never go behind someone else's bar, because I've seen some idiots do that before. You know what I mean? And just like, you never go in someone's kitchen.
Unless you want to get stabbed. I've been in this position where I had to tell the guy,
now, if somebody
your food will be out soon, but if you ever walk in my kitchen again, I'm going to stab you in the chest. Within 2 minutes, my manager, Frank, who wore a pink shirt, but he swore it was salmon, he walks in, and he kind of looked like Apollo Creed. Did you just threaten a customer? I said, well, I didn't really threaten him, but I told him I'd put my knife in his chest, and it's not a threat. I'm letting him know. If you walk in the kitchen again, I'm going to have to kill you.
And it's just, I mean, it's. I think it's just understood, right? So unless
almost.
Somebody asked,
it should be.
Almost.
The weirdest thing, and our friends at Bayou 95.7, they maybe know of this place. It's legendary. It's called Casamigos.
Sure.
And it's in the Garden District. And it's an old school oyster house. And it's one of those places where, just like the months where you're supposed to eat oysters and not supposed to eat oysters in a warm weather environment, they literally close the hell down for like 5 months.
They won't,
all right. And they only.
If it's not in season, they're not giving it.
And this place has been there since the early 1900s, probably before that, but it's been a restaurant, but it's in this old building. And to get to the bathroom, you have to walk through the kitchen.
Right.
Where people are cooking the food, like. There's bread stacked everywhere. Like, you literally are rubbing elbows. It's like Goodfellas, but in reverse.
Exactly. You're just trying to use the bathroom.
Yeah, and you're just walking in the back, you know what I mean? And then you get in the back of the bathroom. Of course, there's, like, containers of bleach on the floor.
It's weird.
Like, a mop in the corner, you know? It's like, that's the bathroom, man. But the idea of walking through the kitchen, you're like, there? Like, yes, sir, right through there. There? Yes, sir. You can walk back. You sure?
You set me up?
Between those two guys? Okay. More of the random question coming up, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Yeah, if you just joined us or you missed the show, all episodes of the Men's Room are available on Radio.com. All right, it is our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Random,
hello,
random,
Scott.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the Men's Room.
Random,
hello.
Random,
hola. Random, all right, Scott. Let us say here that you're going to go out on a night on the town. What would you consider? I said you're going to go out, right?
Yes.
Okay. When is it starting to get too late for you to be out anymore? Like, when do you need to go to bed?
About 2 a.m.
So you can stay out until 2 a.m.?
Yes.
And how old are you?
I'm 36.
That's pretty good, man. To be honest with you, I guess it depends on the night. I mean, yeah, you can take it to the line, but it seems like...
Is this the assumption that we're getting up the next day, say, to go to work?
Or is this a weekend?
Yes, I work odd hours.
Like, what are odd hours?
I mean, I sometimes work from 7 to 4, then next week it'll be from 2 to 11.
Okay, well, 2 to 11 makes sense, because we used to do a night show when we first got to Seattle.
Right.
And we got off the air at 11, and we would walk up the hill to a bar, and we would start our happy hour at 11:30. And 2 o'clock is a reasonable time, you know what I mean, after you get off work then, even to wind down.
But there's a difference. There's a difference. Yes, we would go there, and we would close the bar, and sure, we got there at 11:30 maybe, but... We drink a lot, and, like, this is not the weird dude brag. Like, we drink a lot comparatively to other people. We drink normal to us, but when we're with normal people, I guess we can be excessive. Mm-hmm. The amount of booze that we put down in that 2.5 hours is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it really is. That would be, like, if you went out at 6. Yeah.
I think it also just depends on the day, right? And what I'm getting into. Because there's some nights I could stay out for... Till the wee morning to the hour.
But Friday and Saturday night, typically not a Sunday night or a Monday night or a Tuesday
night. Usually during the week, I'm gonna be home a little bit.
I have the Seth Meyers timeline. I can get through about the monologue of that if I'm up later, and typically then somewhere through the first guest to fall asleep.
Really? I'm usually awake until about 2, and then make myself go to bed. Get up by about 7. Well, wake up at about 7, because you can hear the kids, the dog, the whole freaking insanity that is the house, but I usually lay in bed until about 7:30. But I've always been that way. Sure. Like, if I get eight hours, whatever it is, I'm no good, man. I never have been.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ryan Castle will say something like he'll get tickets to a show. And he comes in and does sit and spin it. Hey, you want to go see the show? The good news is the band's going on at 8:30.
Right.
And we're like, yes. All right, let's go. And, like, it sounds like the most old man thing in the world. But it's one of those things where you're like, okay, we know they're going on at this time.
Well, the older you get.
It's also during the weekday, so it's not going to be
crazy.
But
then there's also times, too, where it's a Friday night, and I'll just start, like, if I start early in the day, I'll get excited. Then it's like, all right, 7:30, I got to go.
I got to crash. Yeah. Someone here, they say, I'm 25, I'm in bed by what time? So the 25, this is the latest they go to bed on any
10,
given
10
night.
O'clock.
Ooh, a little earlier.
9:30.
A little earlier.
9. 8.
8:30. So from 25, I'm in bed by 8:30 p.m. at the latest.
Well, I mean, again, I think that depends, like, is he or she getting up?
You up at 4:35 o'clock?
Yeah.
That has a lot to do with it. There's a morning show here, a different station, but talking to one of the women that works there, and I don't remember what it was, but, like, I'm going to go grab breakfast. It's like 10:30 in the morning. She is on her way home. And I'm like, man, I don't know how you do it. She's like, I don't know either, because I am a night person. She's like, my nature is a night person, but you're not going to turn down a good gig. And let's say they recently won a CMA. So she's like, I am up. I'm just late. I hate going to bed early. But the main guy on the show, and she's like, it drives me crazy. He's a morning person, right? So she's like, I come in, it's dark, I just want coffee, I'm trying to get my game. He's already just pumped up, ready to go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good day.
Yep. Reason we asked,
I'm not
typically,
a morning person. I am not,
no, me
remotely.
What typically is your bedtime? There's something that you all need to understand. This is Madonna on stage during her show in Las Vegas. Sitting on top of a piano, legs swinging, she said, and that is that a queen is never late. Now, the reason that she said this comment, the star spoke these words to fans during the show, despite the cheers that came from the crowd. Not everyone agrees, as one Florida man is betting the law won't agree either. Nate Hollander is taking the singer to court over her late start time. He filed a lawsuit in Miami-Dade County Court, both from Live Nation and Madonna. He alleges the change in start times for her Madame X tour is a breach of contract made between the singer and the ticket buyer. He bought a show at the Fillmore Miami Beach to see Madonna. You do not know what he wanted to pay. You cannot believe.
All right, Hank, it's Madonna. Give me a second here. Because
2 tickets to Madonna. Show was supposed to schedule to begin at 8:30. The alleged lawsuit says Madonna did not take the stage until after 10:30. Keep in mind, Madonna's 62 years old.
Right. But so, still, 2 hours is a bit much, but I'm going to guess he spent $400 a ticket.
Close. $1,024.
For both?
For a ticket or for both?
For 2 tickets, the total cost was $1,000, so over a $500 ticket to see Madonna.
That's insane.
He is saying that he suffered actual and consequential damages, including but not limited to loss of consideration paid and the devaluation of the ticket. So he's going to try to sue.
I mean, I feel like that's a bit of a reach. I would say, and I don't know if I'm going to sue anyone, but I would state that generally speaking, in most circles, you know, 15 minutes is the window that people cope with. After that, they get dicey, but 2 hours is a bit much. And keep in mind, here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. It's just and it can be a sporting event. It can be a concert. Typically, once you enter that place, stadium, arena, you name it, you can't leave. You don't have re-entry. So it'd be different if, like, look, you can be 2 hours late. I would go across the street to the bar and pay a reasonable price for my boot or whatever I'm going to do to kill time, right?
Well, yeah. Hell,
but I can't leave. So if I'm going to consume alcohol, which a lot of adults do to kind of kill time.
Or go to dinner.
I'm dropping $12-$15 per beer. I don't want to do that. Like, 2 hours is ridiculous. And I know you're Madonna, but also because you're Madonna, you should know better.
But lateness.
Yeah.
Lateness is a thing. So even if you're in a work meeting, you know.
I'll be there in 2 hours.
You know who's going to be late to the work meeting. Within your friend group. Let's say you got 10 friends. You know the two that are always going to be late.
I'm Batman.
And I really feel like when you go to a show, you know who's not going to be on time.
Sure.
If you go to a festival and there is a headliner and they don't go on stage until 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you might have that understanding that that could possibly happen. You know the artists that are not going to be on time.
But well, dude, like- I screwed over some dudes once at a Guns N' Roses show. It was like just Axl Rose and I saw them and they weren't in yet. So they were like, hey, like you've already been in, like, right, because I was doing a stage announcement or something. Basically, I just assumed because it was Axl Rose, it would start late.
It's a safe assumption.
He started right. I like told him, like, guys, I would go out. Like, don't bother coming in yet. Go kill like another hour. Like, I haven't even seen him. He's not starting on time.
Axl
he started
Rose
on time.
Made it on time. I would say,
at least I felt bad. These poor guys. I was like, don't buy beers in here, bro. Go over to the bar across the street.
It's Axl Rose.
I think one of my favorites is Ryan Castle tells this story. And we know this mutual friend. We call him Batman. And Batman is notoriously late. That's understood. And we know that about him. You don't even get upset. It's just understood. Anyway, in this particular instance, Batman and his wife invited Ryan Castle and his wife out to dinner. We'll meet you at whatever restaurant it was, pretty close to Castle's place. And he's like, based on who invited him, we still showed up 15, 20 minutes late because we just knew there's no chance to be there. And he wasn't. Castle's there with his wife waiting. Again, you have been invited to dinner. Dude showed up 2.5 hours later.
Mm.
So he's like, now, and Castle's like, I feel weird, man, because it's a neighborhood place. And we bought some Mexican joint that we all like their food a lot. And he's like, so you don't want to screw over the wait staff. You don't want to just sit there and leave. Also, we're trying not to eat because we don't know. And it doesn't matter.
You don't know what time he's going to show up.
And it doesn't matter what he says.
But you've already gone through your third basket of chips and salsa right now waiting, and you're starting to not be hungry.
And also,
that's the way that goes.
It's like, so I don't want to order food because you still want to eat with them. I don't want to keep ordering drinks because at this point, I'm just drinking for 2 hours and not eating. I'm trying not to be pissed drunk. And then, 2.5 hours later, Batman shows up. They had dinner.
That is wild.
Especially if you set the invite.
That's the thing. Yeah. He set the invite. That's like if you say, I'm already going to dinner. Would you like to meet me? And you say, you know what, man? Cool. What time are you going to be there? 5:30. And then I show up at 8.
Yeah.
You ever had the reverse?
What's that?
Me and my buddy years ago showed up to another mutual friend's Halloween party. And we showed up like 1/2 hour early. And she was like, what the hell are you doing here?
Really?
And we were like, what? She's like, I said 8 o'clock specifically because...
How awkward is that?
It was. We did a shot of Fireball. It was fine. But just like, ever since then, we tell everybody, like, you don't show up early.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't
do you stay or do you leave?
Well, you need a 30 minutes.
There was something else we could do at that point. We were invested into, like, they're still decorating. Basically, it was like, just stay out of the way.
As far as bands going on first, whatever. One of the first two Lollapaloozas, Pearl Jam, was on. And they had a 1 o'clock start time because they have a million bands that are going to play that day. And it's an all-day music festival. And we wanted to see Pearl Jam bad. I mean, we were just, like, jonesing for Pearl Jam. And the way they offered those... You could be an opening band. You could play basically whenever you wanted, it seemed like. Because the bands just came out at different times. So the show starts at 1. It's like 12:45. Our buddy's like, let's go swimming in Star Lake. So we have our bathing suits. We've already fired up the grill. We run down. We jump into the lake. And all of a sudden, like, you just hear Alive. And it's the first sound of the concert. There's 15 bands on this bill. The one band that we're jonesing to see. So we run up the hill, put all our crap on, like dump the coals, you know what I mean, in the parking lot. Like, and now we're in. We can't leave. You know what I mean? So we don't come back out.
Once you're in, man.
You can't go back out.
Well, it's funny you bring up Pearl Jam. Comment just came in and says, when Pearl Jam was last in town, The first night, they were over an hour late. I was not very happy.
Well, you know what I mean?
That was a long night.
They probably don't know the area very well. It was probably hard for them to get to.
Random.
You know, it's a new town.
I'm going to drive from West Seattle. It's going to take a while.
I was at that show, man. They played for, like, literally, that was one of those ones. By the end of it, it's like, man, I'm physically tired.
Exactly.
Listen, and look, Pearl Jam.
I love Pearl Jam. They just, that's a long concert. I did not know all the songs.
If you're in the Seattle area, you know for a fact that coming across Pearl Jam is not that difficult to do. I mean, have them live here to do their thing. So at the MLS Cup, right, the championship game, Mike McCready comes out, plays the national anthem. And I realize a lot of people around me are from out of town, and they are blown away. I mean, like, this is a magical moment to them because there's McCready, and he crushes it, right?
Yeah.
He plays the national anthem. And I'd seen him do it two or three times before, but I'm letting them have their moment. And so after the game, I mean, someone's kind of well hooked up with the league, we'll say. And he was like, man, I'm be honest with you. You know, seeing Mike McCready walk out there, play the national anthem, it's just kind of a surreal moment. I said, bro, listen to me. If you live in Seattle, listen, I'm not being funny. I can open my dishwasher and Eddie Vedder falls out. I mean, like, they are everywhere. He's like, really? I said, hey, he's probably at my house right now. I said, it's just wherever you go. Pearl Jam. I said, but I hear you. It is very cool. I said, I guess I'm just spoiled being here.
I did the same thing. But you guys going in early to see McCready? Nah, man, I'm drinking another beer.
Yeah, exactly.
I see him raise the 12th flag. I've seen him play the national anthem. Dude, right. They're everywhere, which is cool.
I've seen him do this.
Right. Like, sorry, open my dishwasher. There's Eddie Vedder, all wet, drinking wine. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Am I on?
Yeah, yes, sir.
You are on. Hold on. In three, in two, and one, and go. Hola.
Oh, man. My dog just barfed in my center console.
Oh, no. Dude, you need us to let you go?
Sorry. No. What? I'm driving. I can't do nothing about it now.
Okay. What did the dog puke up, by the way?
What's that? Say that again?
What did the dog puke up? Can you identify what it is?
It's mostly just water, but man, it's like filled with liquidy water. It sucks.
Well, what is your dog doing now? Is it doing that thing where it's kind of looking at you, but out of the corner of its eye?
Oh, yeah. It's like cowering. Don't
okay.
It was me.
All right. Let's go with this random question. Seems appropriate. If you're sick and you don't know what's going on, have you ever Googled the symptoms to find out maybe what's going on? Like if you have a pain someplace or you don't know what it is, maybe it's a pain in your elbow or anything like that. Have you ever tried to self-diagnose yourself?
I usually just ask my wife because she's kind of in the medical field.
How is she kind of in it?
Well, she's a massage therapist, but she's also
okay.
She's just hardcore. Don stops studying, you know, medical stuff.
Is that good or bad?
A lot of vitamins. She sells a lot of, like, nutritional stuff. It's all, like, you know, organic and
as far as your life goes, like, that's great. When there's something wrong, maybe they can help you identify the cause. But how bad is it when you're just trying to relax or do whatever it is you do, and then they start explaining to you how bad of an idea it is to do what it is you're doing?
I don't really get what you're saying.
Okay, basically, is there something that you do in particular where she said, I wouldn't do that? You know what I mean? Just based on her knowledge.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things. You know, not a beer I drink.
Oh,
okay,
no.
All right.
But is it every time you drink a beer, or is it just every once in a while?
No, I mean, I have, you know, beers at night, but I'm not going to go there. But, yeah.
Just go with the Supreme Court
right now,
defense.
More the... cut the beer back and lose the belly kind of thing.
Okay, so it's basically she just wants you to be healthy and she wants you to get rid of your beer belly.
She wants you to look good. This has nothing to
do. Yeah, Thrill, you're right there.
I know. It's why they have gyms.
For who you are, but now it's like, I think I watched too many Magic Mike videos.
Oh, I see.
Hey, okay. Yeah, damn Magic Mike.
Magic Mike didn't help anybody,
now,
bro.
Does your wife ever practice giving you a massage?
Oh, yeah, you know, we've been married 10 years and she does, and I'm like the guy who likes the softy touch, maybe happy ending because I'm married. But she specializes in deep tissue, so when I'm on the table, I'm crying and whining. In fact, I give her more massages than she gives me. But
deep tissue massage is not fun. You know, deep tissue massage is like taking OxyContin. If you need it, it's not fun. It's just
easy. But after the rest, your body loves you the rest of the week or month or whatever after it's the pain's over.
Okay, I got to ask you, what kind of beer are you drinking tonight?
I like the Silver City Tropic Haze, and I love the Space Dust.
Okay, well, here's your problem. You're drinking 300 and some calorie IPAs.
Why do you have to be that guy, Miles?
Because
this is what he. No, see,
what
is this?
No,
this is exactly what I'm talking about. Just let a person enjoy their drink. It's beer. It doesn't matter.
In between.
It's a neurotoxin. Once you consume alcohol, don't worry about any freaking thing else.
In between. You know what I'm saying?
It's a lighter neurotoxin.
Have a White Claw. You know what I mean? Like every once in a while.
White Claw is a joke. When I was in the military.
Easy now, sir.
When I was in the military, I drink a six-pack of Michelob Ultra and then like an Arrogant Bastard or a Men's Room Red Original, something really good that I would enjoy.
Thank you.
I make beer, and I don't know if you remember, but I ruined your joke the other day with the original and Final Gravity.
You didn't ruin
the joke. It was just a future question.
Sure.
And then you blew it for me.
All right, pick up your dog crap there.
All right. Yeah, drink all the beer you want tonight. Don't listen to your wife or Miles.
But, dude, it's a
neurotoxin.
Every other beer, can drink a light beer, right?
You could, but you're the guy that says, you know, the worst thing about you having been bit by a rattlesnake, that venom has 800 calories.
Well, it does.
Like, I don't care at this point. I'm drinking beer. If I'm worried about my health, I don't voluntarily consume a neurotoxin, but do you know what I will do?
Mm-hmm.
Consume neurotoxins.
Okay.
I'm not worried about my health.
You say you have a hazy beer. I'm assuming that's an unfiltered beer.
Trust me,
that's a great IPA.
It is a great IPA.
I love them. But you know what I mean? I think if you're trying to lose weight.
Don't drink beer.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you're not worried about your health.
But if you don't want to stop drinking beer, there is an alternative. You know, you can drink a lighter calorie beer, you know?
You can. But I mean,
there's also a lot, like, I used to weigh 360 pounds. All I drank was light beer.
Yeah, but that wasn't the issue. No one said.
Like, it's kind of like, you know, he used to say about people that drink diet soda.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. Right.
All right. The reason we asked, do you Google your symptoms when you are sick, and hopefully you're not, because it's never good, they say, when you're feeling sick, so sick that you type the symptoms into Google, because then you get, like, something crazy in there. And then you rush to urgent care and find out from the doctor that it's actually gas or whatever the hell it is. Well, according to a new survey, 43% of people admit they have convinced themselves they had a serious disease after Googling whatever symptoms they had.
That's why I don't do it.
When it turned out they actually had something much more minor. And 3 out of the 4 people who've diagnosed themselves online said it made them worry more, not less, about what was wrong with them. So do we ever get our self-diagnosis right, they asked. Survey found it actually can happen, but we get it right less than 40% of the time.
It's just, look, one of the things about symptoms, right, it just seems to be this, like nausea, diarrhea, headache, right? It's these just garden variety symptoms, and if you type those into WebMD, they could also be indicative of horrible, horrible thing. In the end, you probably just have a headache because you ate something bad, that's why your stomach hurts, but you go to WebMD, it's like, you're going to die of stage 4 cancer tomorrow.
Well, I think the one that we've all done is just like, do I have a cold or is it allergies?
Right.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Like, can I stay home or not?
And honest to God, we all know it, one of two things. Most people don't want to go to the hospital, but it comes down to cost anymore, especially in the United States.
Sure.
So it's more about, like, I don't know if I can afford this. Like, I don't know
if I can afford it. Let me WebMD.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I can figure something out and just go to Rite Aid.
Oh, my God, I have HIV. Yeah, like, sure, you have a cold.
I mean, we have insurance here, but, you know, sometimes.
I still don't want to go.
You look at the bill and you go, did they do anything with that?
Right.
Like, I must have a big deductible.
Right, really, really big.
More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
If you just joined us or you missed a show, all episodes of the Men's Room are available on radio.com. In the meantime, it is our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Danny. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Random,
Hola.
Hola.
Danny, how are you? Welcome to Random Question Question.
Hello.
Okay. Danny, let's go with this one. How did you or someone you know get revenge?
Oh, God.
How do you or someone you know maybe got some revenge somehow? Silent revenge?
Oh, my gosh. That's a good one. Revenge. There's so many.
I was going to say, you sound like someone that might have a plethora of stories.
It doesn't look like you're searching too hard. You're just trying to pick one. Well, just pick one.
I'm just trying to think of, oh gosh, revenge.
Maybe it was just a prank that someone played on you out of fun and you got them back in another way. Like, look, I'll get
you back. Lighting a car on fire and pushing it off of a cliff.
Okay, well, when I was in high school, so there was an incident in high school where my friends told me there was this bottle of pop laying there, and apparently one of the guys that was playing basketball peed in the pop, so I drank.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's not very, Danny, that's not very.
We were at a party, and I peed in somebody's beer and gave it to them on purpose.
Okay. Was it the same person who gave you that beer or the same people who were involved in the prank?
It was the same person, but on accident, that beer got taken from that person, and so someone else drank it.
Okay.
Good, but I was just trying to get revenge, pay them back.
Okay. Well, we asked the right person the question.
Yeah.
Did you ever manage to get that person back, and then the person who drank your urine, did they want to get you back?
After I did it back to them?
Well, yeah, look, you peed in a bottle, but the person who ended up drinking the bottle was someone other than the person you targeted. So,
he knew. He found out, and he was really mad.
I bet he was.
That's not very PC.
He was pretty pissed off, but I'm like, it wasn't meant for you. And he's like, well, I was taking it from this guy because he was too drunk, so they were cutting him off. And I had given him a beer after they cut him off, so they were like, give me that. You don't need that. And they took it from him, and then they were seeing it, and I just went off running. Me and my friends went scampering off laughing because we were just dying laughing, and we were like,
I do know this. I know for a fact because I've tried to use the bathroom in an empty Jack Daniels bottle in the backseat of my friend's car while driving to spring break as an idiot youth. Not very easy to do. So
no.
I can't imagine with different parts that I would assume it would be much harder for you.
Yeah, we were at a house party, and so I got in the bathtub and just like bathroom, and I did it in the bathtub.
Okay,
But that seems like the sensible thing to do
because it's going to go everywhere, right?
Right. Chaos.
It went everywhere in the back of that car.
Was it a bottle of beer or a can of beer?
It was a bottle.
Oh, see, that's tough.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, you're making the target. Now you're trying to drop a basketball in a golf hole, man. You know what I mean? Like this. Just seems really, really difficult. Well, they do have that product in case, Robin, if you're interested, I would assume you've never peed standing up, not on purpose. Okay, well, there's the product called the You Go Girl. And basically, it's a glorified funnel.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Honestly, and the premise behind it was simply this. We understand that perhaps at home, you're not dying to pee standing up. But anytime they said women go to festivals, concerts, outdoor things. Because women always hover, right? So, like, it's a port-a-john. And let's face it, nobody
wants... questions. Where are you putting it after?
In your pocket.
How are you cleaning it after?
That's what I was
wondering.
There's
so many questions. It's so much easier
that part is on
to
you.
Get
Thank
into
you, Robin.
The tree line and just, like, hover the best you can.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know, it's kind of funny, though.
Where do you put it? Like, do you need this? You want to borrow it? You go there.
It's just on you.
Yeah. But, like, if you see a guy peeing in the woods, you know what he's doing. His back's to you, and there's just a telltale stance. I've walked where you look and you kind of look at the bush line, not as high as the trees, and it looks like severed heads. Mm-hmm. It's like
when you said bush line, I brought something completely different. Reason we asked, how did you or someone get revenge? We go back to Toms River, New Jersey. Is this finally, they say, the Thanksgiving when the turkeys say we're not going to take it anymore? That seems to be the case happening in New Jersey. According to people who live in a retirement community in Toms River, they are being terrorized by a group of 60 wild turkeys. They say the turkeys are blocking their doors, pecking their cars, attacking and biting people who go outside, and some turkeys have broken multiple windows. By the way, this is the time of year when turkeys are aggressive because it's mating season, so this probably isn't them fighting back over Thanksgiving, but the animal control in Toms River says they can't help because they're not licensed to trap wildlife. So now the turkeys win.
They can't be killed, and they can run around.
Why can you not kill a turkey if you're going to eat the son of a bitch in a couple of weeks?
Because it's considered wildlife in New Jersey.
The wildlife that you're going to eat in
if
a couple of
weeks. If
it's
turkey season, then you can kill a turkey.
Yeah.
It's not turkey season right before Thanksgiving.
I don't think so.
I mean, doesn't that seem weird? And, like,
I mean, you can eat deer around, but you can only go out and shoot them a couple weeks out of the year.
But people actively eat turkey at this specific part of the year.
More of the random question coming up, 844-999-OLA.
OLA, the shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.